Good morning. Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast on the 16th of August, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, along with Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller with the news today, including more Hoosier Homestead Award winners at the State Fair this week. We'll hear from some of them and more awards for Julia Wickard at USDA's Indiana FSA. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit their website, ffbt.com, for more. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says the rain is trying to exit. Clouds could break up today. And the grains and oil seeds quietly lower yesterday. We have analysis with Mike Silver on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Hoosier Homestead Award winners at the Indiana State Fair and USDA's Julia Wickard getting awards too. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Over 100 families were honored Wednesday at the State Fair for their longstanding commitment to agriculture at the Hoosier Homestead Award Ceremony by the Indiana State Department of Agriculture. To be named a Hoosier Homestead, farms must be owned by the same family for more than 100 consecutive years.
It means a legacy, and it also means responsibility to keep the legacy going.
That's J.W. Holmes, who received the Bicentennial Award for 200 years of continuous ownership of his family's farm in Tippecanoe County.
We try to manage the place for the next generation is how we think of it. You know, we don't really think of it as the current generations as much as the next, and making sure that it's in a place where it can continue moving forward.
J.W. is the seventh generation on the family farm. He gave me some of the history.
The farm itself started in 1824. My great-great-great-great-granddad came after buying land in Virginia and settled here in Tippecanoe County about 5 years before it was Tippecanoe County. And he was still dealing with the natives, you know, after the Battle of Tippecanoe, they were still around. And he was a land surveyor, so he surveyed a lot of the land that people see around Tippecanoe County. He was the first one to do a lot of that.
J.W. told me he really wished that more of his family was still alive to see this feat. They would certainly be proud. You can see the list of other proud Hoosier homesteads by finding this story at HoosierAgToday.com. Congratulations to all of them.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
It's an amazing achievement to be recognized by your peers with an award, but for one Indiana ag leader, she's received two just in the past 2 weeks at the Indiana State Fair. CJ Miller has more.
My love is just serving people, and I'm very blessed to have been part of this my entire career.
And that's Julia Wickard, Indiana's executive director of the USDA Farm Service Agency. During the first week of the Indiana State Fair, she received the 2024 Women in Agriculture Leadership Award from Purdue Extension. This past week, Wickard was also honored at the Indiana State Fair by her team at FSA by receiving the Administrator's Award for Service to Agriculture.
When I think about awards, I think about the people that I've served and served with over my career. You know, whether it's now with the Indiana USDA Farm Service Agency or numerous commodity organizations and farm groups in the state, it's about getting the work done, doing it for farmers, doing it for our stakeholders and our partners, and ultimately making a difference.
Wickard says her connection with Indiana's farm community goes far beyond serving in a leadership role with FSA.
I get up every day, I go to the barn, feed the animals, go to work in it every day, I come home to it every night. And I do it because I love agriculture, I love the state, I love serving the American farmer, and that's why I do what I do.
You can hear more from Julia Wickard at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And while you're there, check out the rest of the State Fair coverage, video of the Lieutenant Governor debate, the Purdue Crop Chat, and the cheese sculpture unveiling. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey farmers, do you want to see weeding tools before you buy them? Learn how to adjust cultivators and see what's new in weeding tools? Then make plans today to attend the Midwest Weed Control Field Day, September 11th at Purdue's Miggs Horticultural Research Farm in Lafayette, Indiana. Enjoy weeding tool demos of all scales, a morning trade show, and cultivation education for vegetables and row crops. Register online early to guarantee your spot and lunch. Search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. The remains of the weather system that started to bring us rain yesterday, still trying to exit Indiana here today. There are some stronger thunderstorms that are trying to pop up out here in parts of central and southern Indiana. I think those go away before midday today. We're trying to see some clearing come in from northwest to southeast. We'll see how long it takes to get here. I'm not promising bright and sunny skies for everyone today, but I do think we see the rain stopping in a lot of areas, and we should see clouds break for some sunshine. Low pressure slowly moving across the Great Lakes region through this weekend, almost at a crawl as it moves through Michigan. That's going to create wraparound cloud cover that wants to come down in here, and I am not going to rule out some light moisture, especially for Saturday and early Sunday. I don't think it's much. I think your coverage for moisture on Saturday is going to be less than 20%, but I just don't want to wave the all-clear flag yet, even though we could see partly to mostly sunny skies in a lot of areas. Best chance of moisture probably develops in the afternoon on Saturday. By the time we get to Sunday morning, clouds are going to try and come back from time to time, but I don't think there's a lot of moisture potential there. And then we move into next week where we are dry, beginning to end, honestly. From Monday through Friday, we're seeing very little threat of moisture, maybe some heat-based pop-up activity late in the week and weekend. Friday night into early Saturday, most of that wants to set up a little bit farther to our north and west. I think there's a very, very key potential for us to go through the entire week next week with absolutely no precipitation. So what that means is what we see today and in some cases tomorrow is going to have to last us all the way through this upcoming week. Maybe we want slightly heavier precipitation right now out of what's coming in the next 24 to 48 hours. It's going to be a long stretch of dry weather for sure. And as I look back to the west late next week, I'm not seeing anything develop to the west either. So this could extend into a dry pattern for the entire last half of August and into early September. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. Corn futures lower all day, and in the end, soybeans and wheat move from higher ground to a sell-off. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. Settlements coming up. First analysis. And I got that from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain near the end of the session. Mike, we saw gains, Thursday gains in soybeans and wheat. Those gains did not hold up, though, so a short covering rally may be fizzling out. Why did we fizzle?
Well, Andy, you know, I think we go back to what we received Monday in terms of that World Outlook report from USDA. The bearish supply picture for the U.S. remains obviously in focus. The surprise came, we did expect in that report that we'd see a reduction in the corn acres. They came in 700,000 acres less planted, and the harvest estimate is also 700,000 acres less planted. But the big surprise that really was unexpected was a million more acres of soybeans. And boy, I tell you what, you put those two together and it just has it put a downward shadow in the futures price prospects here, at least for a while. And now the good thing is, and I made a statement yesterday to a group of farmers at an event down at our Anderson elevator that, you know, we have seen that high prices go away because prices are high. And the old adage is, you know, high prices cure high prices and low prices cure low prices. So let's hope that we can get, it looks like we're doing some bottom fishing here, trying to find a low. But unfortunately, it looks like as we close the market today, and that we've still got some downside potential. The world has, and especially the U.S., has enough corn and beans. And with the weather it is in play right now, weather's the next negative factor in the market. A good system of rains in the last 24 hours across the western corn belt in some of the areas that needed rain, and it's headed now towards Illinois and Indiana in the eastern corn belt, should put a strong finish on the crop development here for this 24 crop that's in the ground working its way toward maturity. So there are two things in play. Now, for some positives, because it sounds like I'm negative about everything, I fear that there is some further downside pressure, but something that was overlooked last Friday was the fact that the funds have been motivated to cover some of their short position. Of course, we know that they held record short positions in corn and soybeans for that matter, but they did cover some of those shorts last week. But as they were buying those shorts back, farmers were pricing grains that they still needed to sell and price. So that absorbed a lot of the upward mobility of the futures market price. So that was kind of a bittersweet action, really. But the funds are still short. And it appears that they are still right in dedicating that managed money to a short position with the program prospects, crop production prospects in the U.S. that we have in play right now and with the current weather forecast. Let's talk for a minute about what the market will be watching as we proceed. Obviously, we're going to see if these weather forecasts verify and if the balance of the crop development month of August, especially for soybeans, pans out the way the forecasts look, if we can sustain the kind of yield projections that we have, we've got our work cut out for us to really get a better performance out of our corn and soybean export program, especially the soybean export program. Now, export sales this morning for old crop corn 120,000 metric tons. Last week, we were at 485,000 tons. That's for the 23-24 crop. And, of course, we're August 31st is the end of the crop year for the 23-24. Now, we did have, for the 24-25, a good number this morning, 800,500 metric tons. That was just slightly above the high end of the range of expectations. And last week we were at 249.1. So that corn number was a really good number, but it wasn't enough to provide much support as I'm looking at the futures market now before the close. And we're down 6 cents in the September and almost 4 cents in the December contract. Soybeans came in at 221.7. thousand tons last week, 325.4. That was for the old crop. Now the new crop number came in at 1.344 million metric tons, and that was above the high end of the estimates. Last week, as I said, that number was 852,000 tons. So that was a good soybean number, and that provided support at least for a period this morning. Now, it looks like we're going to give that back here on the close today with the burden of the potentially large crop that we're going to harvest this fall. The wheat number came in at 399,000 tons. Last week, we were at 274, and the wheat market right now is down about 6 cents in the September and 6 cents in the December, and we'll see how that closes out. But as far as the export pace is concerned, the old crop corn, we're on target right now to meet the balance sheet demand. On the soybeans, and I'm talking old crop, on the soybeans, we're still about 2 percentage points behind the pace we need to meet the export projections for the old crop. As far as new crop projections are concerned, in relation to our performance against USDA's updated balance sheet that they released Monday in the WASD, we've got a long way to go to make that program work. In other words, to export enough soybeans to generate enough interest in world buyers, especially China. And China is obviously way behind the pace that they normally, over the course of the last several years in particular, have maintained with the United States. So in a simple statement, we need to get our export program kicked into high gear. Now, lower prices, although they're hurtful, obviously to any U.S. farmer, our customers, your customers, These depressed prices are hurtful. The cure for low prices is low prices. So hopefully these more competitive to the global marketplace, these more competitive corn and soybean prices to global purchasers will stimulate demand that will help us elevate prices. Now, we've got a lot of work to do, don't we? We sure do. I told the folks yesterday, it's pretty easy to get dejected about all this, especially if you think about the things that I've said this morning in terms of the bearish supply picture that's probably going to remain in focus here to the market for a while yet. It would be easy not to get off a track where we're focused on the negative and miss the positive. Now, there will be some positives out there. And we dare not forget that. And I suggested to the folks I talked to yesterday at our appreciation event down at our Anderson elevator, you know, I think what we have to do for one thing is look at some perhaps tools, marketing tools that we've not used before. This is a kind of market setup where minimum price strategies to generate some cash But stay involved in the marketplace makes some sense. For those folks that have futures and options accounts, their private accounts, they can put on some risk management strategies at their level of risk affordability via perhaps some marketing tools that they've never used before. And a certain number of those tools are available in the cash market, as well as I said earlier, in one's private trading account. So I'm encouraging folks to look for opportunity and perhaps, you know, expand the number of tools that you have in your marketing toolbox to stay engaged in this. Yes, this has been a tough year. I mean, it's been a contra-seasonal year. We did not have the market build in the risk premium that we're accustomed to, and simply said, it's challenging right now. We know that. But I want to encourage folks not to give up hope. I use that term, and look for strategies and opportunities, and just don't become discouraged. Just stay alert for opportunity and use a tool, consider a tool that never been used before. And with that, Andy, you know, we're just a few short weeks away from starting harvest. In our call this morning with all of our location managers, we've been advised that that we could see some harvest, especially in corn, start probably right after the 1st of September. And that would be more true to the southern part of the state than it is here in northwest central Indiana. But certainly it looks like we're going to have a bountiful and perhaps record yields for the U.S. and again this year for Indiana in our corn and soybean crops. So anything that we can do to help our customers stay alert to opportunity and provide information, we are willing to do. And we wish everyone here a good finish to the growing season and a good, safe, productive harvest 2024, which is knocking at the door.
Mike Silver, Kokomo Grain. His number is 800-666-0613. Now, settlements from Thursday trade. September corn ends the session down 6 cents, 375. December 397, down 3¾. September beans, 951½, a loss of 0.75 cents. And November finishes flat, unchanged at 968½. September wheat, 528¼, 6½ cents lower. The meat market's mixed. October live cattle, 180.75, down $1.37. And October lean hogs, 76.50, up 57 cents. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.